In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. So two things real quick. One is I had really the best of intentions. I wanted to preach on Moses to kind of go with our Moses study, but I just really can't pass up a good parable. I just can't. It's a thing for me. So the choir is going to sing about Moses, and if you really just want to know about Moses, you got to come to our Moses studies on Sundays and Wednesdays, and you'll get your fill of Moses there. And the second thing is, I know we're looking at time, because I know the Broncos and the Bills are playing at 11. I'm just going to tell you a little something. As a lifelong Buffalo Bills fan, you're not going to miss anything. If you miss the first 10 minutes, it's not really, it's not going to turn the world upside down with what you missed there. So our story from the gospel today, a parable Jesus is telling to the Jewish audience, right? That's what Jesus does. He talks to the Jewish audience. And something you need to know, a few things you need to know, two specifically, that help fill in the context of this. The first is, you know, the Jewish workday goes from sun up to sundown, kind of like a farmer's workday, a rancher's workday, sun up to sundown. And the Jewish day starts at sunrise. It doesn't start at midnight. It starts at sunrise. So a day would be 6 a.m. to 6 a.m. instead of midnight to midnight. And then the second thing is the plight of the Jewish day laborer. And day laborers were people who didn't have any economic stability whatsoever in the time of Jesus. None. As a matter of fact, they would get up each day, go to the market, and if they were hired for a job, they got a day's wage, which was about enough to buy food for your family. And if they weren't, they didn't eat. And there was really no stability, no security in that life. Whenever I hear that, in Sheridan, it's kind of hard to think about, although some of you may have examples. But I think about when we lived in New Orleans, outside of the Home Depot in New Orleans, was always people who were undocumented, illegal immigrants, whatever you would call them, who would stand outside the Home Depot and they would wait. And if you were buying 15 sheets of drywall and you needed help carrying them, you could say, could someone, for $20, could someone help carry these? And someone would come and help you carry them and load them. And they would just wait to help people with projects. That was how they made their money. And in big cities, you see things like that. I remember one of my first staff meetings when I got hired in New Orleans at St. Paul's was one of our employees who was in charge of outreach was using petty cash to to hire people, undocumented people, to come work at the church. And they were trying to explain that that's not really great accounting. My third staff meeting was explaining that you couldn't use petty cash to pay for your speeding ticket. So that person, you know, there was just a string of things. And surprisingly, they didn't last in that position. You wouldn't believe that. But anyways, we see, you know, some contemporary examples of this, of people that really have no security, no stability, no economic way to make a living other than day to day. We're not even talking paycheck to paycheck. We're talking meal to meal. And that's how day laborers were in Jesus' time. So it would have been something everyone would have been familiar with because they see it. You know, in the middle of the town, there would have been the day laborers waiting to get hired, and when there was someone who had a harvest or needed help, you know, to think about it in our terms, needed help haying or doing things like that, they'd hire people for the day or maybe for two or whatever. So Jesus tells this story from his time about a landowner and the day laborers. And the landowner, I don't want to spoil it, but the landowner is God in the story. So you know. The landowner goes to the market like would have been normal, and at the beginning of the day, and he hires people to work, and he promises them the daily wage. So then he goes back at 9 o'clock, and this may not have been completely uncommon, right? You can still get a good day's work if you start at 9, and he promises them what is right. Then he goes back at noon. He goes back at 3. He goes back at 5 o'clock, and he finds people. He says, what are you doing here? You're still at the market? It's 5 o'clock? Why are you standing around? And they say, nobody's hired us, so I don't know. What do we do? He says, come on. And he hires them for the daily wage. And they do the work. Everything's fine. And then the landowner does something bizarre. And the landowner wants everyone to know how generous he's being. And the reason I say that is because there's a simple way for you business people who understand business and human resources and how people are when in a company, right? The easiest way to do this, to minimize any strife, is to pay the first people that came first, send them on their way. The second people that came, send them on their way, right? So that everyone would think, well, we got the daily wage and somebody after us is probably getting less, a prorated daily wage. But what Jesus does, he tells in the stories, he says, no, the landowner does the opposite of that. He calls up everyone together. This is not a discrete, you know, handing of your paycheck folded in half so no one else can see it. He calls everyone together and he starts with the very last people that come in. And he gives them the daily wage. And then the second to last, and the third to last, and finally works his way all the way to the beginning. And you could probably think about what the people who came early in the morning were thinking. If you're a day laborer, and you don't have any economic security, and you think, wow, these guys who worked an hour got the daily wage. I might get a week's wage. I might get enough for my family to eat burgers tonight instead of bread. We might have meat. And you'd think about all that's going through their mind, and we could probably put ourselves in that spot. The excitement, the anticipation. This is going to be the most generous landowner we've ever worked for. Well, they're true. That's true, but not in the way they wanted. So by the time the landowner gets to the last, he gives them the daily wage, and they're angry. And the landowner says, isn't that what we agreed on? And says, are you jealous? Are you envious because I'm generous? So here's what's going on in the time of Jesus. In the time of Jesus, the Jewish people have a lot of pride in being the people, the chosen people. And other types of people are coming to see Jesus, and they're not like the chosen people. They're sometimes Gentiles. They're people who have lived in public sin, prostitutes, tax collectors, traitors. They're just people of bad reputation and ill repute. And Jesus is receiving them the same as he would receive the bishop type, you know, the equivalent of that type figure, somebody who's been in church their whole life. He's receiving them all the same way. And it's frustrating for the Jewish people because they feel like, no, no, no. We've put in our time. My grandfather followed the law. My father followed the law. I follow the law. How dare you even put us in the same group, in the same community as these people who just like 3 hours ago figured out they needed to make some changes. And so what Jesus is saying, the people that would have heard him for the very first time telling the story, or the Jewish people who would have read it, the Jewish Christians would have been confronted by this, that he is doing that. So in a sense, there's no seniority in what Jesus is doing. He is receiving people who are broken and wounded and have made poor decision after poor decision after poor decision the very same way he would receive someone who's tried to be faithful their entire life. The exact same. And he's decided he's going to do that because, not because he wants to be fair, but because he wants to be generous. So Jesus is trying to give the Jewish listeners a little insight into what God's doing here. It's not because they deserve it, but it's because I'm generous. Right? That's the story in there. Even the people at 5 o'clock, they've been idle. They're just standing there. You know, it's not like they're being productive. It's not like they've used their time well, but still, it's the generosity of the landowner that they're receiving the wage. So what Jesus is trying to get the people of his time to understand is that God's decided he wants to be more generous than fair. He doesn't want to give people what they deserve. He wants to be generous with grace. Okay, so now how does that translate to now? I think if we might be one of those people who see ourselves in that 5 o'clock worker, I mean, this is an incredible story. I mean, we all have a past. We all have things we're not proud of. We've probably all wasted time. And Jesus is talking to those people that have wasted time, that have made bad decisions, that have not used what they've been given well. Come on, let's get to work. I don't care if it's 5 o'clock and the shift ends at 6. Let's get to work. Doesn't matter. So if you're seeing yourself in that person, you're looking at your life and thinking, I've wasted some time, I've done some things, right? Who hasn't? That should be incredibly comforting. Incredibly comforting. Now, if you read this story and you resonate with the people who worked all day and think they're being treated unfairly, Jesus ends the story with a question. And see, the great thing about when Jesus ends a story with a question is that he doesn't want to answer it. He wants you to answer it. So I can end this with a question. I don't have to answer it for you because that's what Jesus did. The question then goes to the listeners. Are you going to be mad? Are you going to be angry? Are you going to be jealous because I decided to be generous with these people who are hurting and broken? Do you want me to punish them? Do you want me to hurt them? Do you want me to create a seniority within the group of my followers that we have, you know, senior members and elite level members and bronze members and silver members? Do you want that? Or can you understand how much I love them and that I want to be generous with them? And can you be generous too? This is what I've decided. I'm going to be generous. Can you be generous with me? So I think the people listening for the first time would have thought, are we going to be generous with grace, with mercy, with love, with kindness? Are we going to look at people and try to punish them for what they've done? Are we going to see ourselves as a superior because of the choices we've made and look down on the choices other people have made? Or are we going to be generous of spirit? Are we going to be kind? Are we going to be loving? Are we going to be merciful? Or are we going to want to be angry because God is so generous? That's the question that we get left with today. God's decided. We don't get to choose for him. He's decided how this community works. He's going to be generous. He's going to be generous of grace, mercy, love. He's going to be generous of spirit. Are we going to be generous with him? See how I did that? I ended with a question, just like Jesus did. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.